You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. 2 years ago, Edward Snowden leaked hundreds of thousands of classified government documents that revealed the inner workings of the U.S. government's security network and set off a debate about government surveillance still going on today. Those leaks also prompted a heated debate over whistleblowing, whether someone like Snowden is a whistleblowing hero or a traitor, as some said, whether they're protecting democracy or endangering lives. Closer to home, whistleblowers actively tried to bring attention to problems at a VA facility in Tomah. They faced retaliation from management before the story got into the public eye. In these and other cases, whistleblowers risked their reputations, their careers, in some cases maybe their lives, prompting the question, what should you know before you decide to blow the whistle? With us now is Stephen Cohn, Executive Director of the National Whistleblowers Center and author of the book, The Whistleblower's Handbook. Stephen, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you in your book made the point that whistleblowers have been crucial to the United States since the very beginning. How important are whistleblowers in our culture, our society?
Well, it's been fully documented that whistleblowers today are the number one source of all fraud recoveries in government contracting and procurement. They're clearly the number one source for identifying fraud in securities industry, government contracting, and taxes. So if you want to detect that type of corruption, you must protect and encourage the whistleblower.
So how do we do that? How do we protect whistleblowers and encourage them?
Well, Congress finally caught on. As people studied how fraud is detected, and study after study concluded that the whistleblower was the key, including a major study out of the University of Chicago, they found out that you need to encourage these people. They're their sources. Fraud is designed to be hidden, and you need the employee to come out and report it. So they decided to combine essentially a carrot and a stick. The stick is, if you're fired for blowing the whistle, then you can sue your company. But they wanted to avoid that. So the carrot is, if you give the government high-quality information that documents a fraud, and it's used for a successful enforcement action, the whistleblower can collect a percentage of the monies received by the government. This is what's known as a reward, a whistleblower reward.
Let's take this from the perspective of a potential whistleblower. Somebody at an organization, say a business, a government agency, who says, I see something going on here. I see taxpayer money illegally being appropriated or a fraud at my company. But gosh, if I report this, I could be retaliated against, fired, threatened, could ruin my career. So what does that whistleblower do things right to protect themselves in the long run?
A fantastic question. I think, so let's just take it right from the beginning. So you're the whistleblower. So say you work for a government contractor. It's critical to figure out who you work for to determine your level of protection. But for this hypothetical, the whistleblower works for a government contractor. They see that they got a contract to build a bridge, but they're using terrible and below-grade cement. And the cement they're using violates the requirements of that government contract. So they blow the whistle. Now, if they use the False Claims Act, they can do this, at least initially, completely confidentially, filed under seal. And if the government comes in and investigates and finds that it was the wrong cement, and they then bill out that contractor for their fraud and their damages, say it was a $25 million mistake, intentional, so now it's $25 million of damage to the government. The law has a treble damage requirement, which says you triple it. So if you rip off the government $25 million, you owe the government $75 million. And then the whistleblower who turned that in could obtain between 15 and 30% of that $75 million In other words, a very large reward. And many whistleblowers get large rewards. That's in exchange because it's the issue you stated in the very beginning. Most employees are afraid of being fired. And if they do blow the whistle and they are caught, most likely their careers will be ruined. So these laws had to figure out a way to encourage workers to take that risk, to risk the destruction of their career. And the way they did that was by setting up a reward structure. And that's how the False Claims Act works for government contracting. There's a similar law for securities fraud, commodities fraud, tax fraud, and people who disclose foreign bribery. Now, if you're not in those categories, then generally all you have is a law that you would get reinstatement and back pay and maybe some other damages if you're fired. Those laws are weak and generally do not work.
We're talking to Stephen Cohn, author of The Whistleblower's Handbook, about the role of whistleblowers in American business and government trying to prevent fraud. And Stephen, one accusation that's leveled against some whistleblowers, often in military settings or in the case of Edward Snowden, is that, hey, the appropriate way to do things is first to go through chain of command, report it to superiors, to their superiors if they don't respond, to Congress in some cases. Only then, if you haven't gotten redress, should you go public with this information. Is there something to that?
Well, going public is a constitutional right. It's protected in the First Amendment. The American people have a right to know. And that's codified in our Constitution. However, the cases that have evaluated it do permit a balancing test between the government's legitimate secrecy interests and the public right to know. So if you're going to go straight to the press, say about a government fraud or corruption of a government official, as a whistleblower, you're at risk. Because it's up to the courts to weigh that balance. And if they weigh the balance against you, you're going to be fired and have no rights. But if they weigh the balance in your favor, you'll be protected under a very strong constitutional law that does provide for jury trials and punitive damage. So going to the press is the most risky way to blow the whistle.
And I'm thinking of cases with Edward Snowden again, where it wasn't necessarily fraud or anything with a price tag. It was behavior that, right or wrong, Edward Snowden thought the people had a right to know about government surveillance, among other things. Here in Wisconsin, we had a scandal at a VA facility where whistleblowers said, hey, pain medications are being overprescribed. It wasn't necessarily ripping off taxpayer money. Are those kind of whistleblowers, without that dollar amount, that without that reward, are they whistleblowers? Do they have the protections they need?
Well, we'll break it up into three, your question. First is there are protections for environmental whistleblowers, nuclear safety whistleblowers, food safety, occupational safety. So in the area of health and safety, there are laws. But they're weaker than, say, the False Claims Act. And they do prohibit retaliation, but I've worked those laws for over 30 years. They're hard, the cases are long, costly, and they're difficult to win. So those laws really don't encourage whistleblowers, but they will protect a whistleblower if they're fired and have a good case. But let's now go to the VA. A VA employee is protected under a whole separate slew of laws, primarily the Whistleblower Protection Act. And that law does cover disclosures to the news media. So if you're releasing, say, patient confidential information, you won't be protected. But if you're just blowing the whistle on patient safety and other types of abuses, you should be. Now let's hit Snowden. Snowden falls in a very small class of whistleblowing. It's called national security intelligence. Back in 1978, when the first federal whistleblower law was passed, These intelligence agencies lobbied and got excluded from the whistleblower laws. So if someone's working at the CIA or the NSA, they don't have any law to protect them for blowing the whistle. Forget going to the press. Even blowing the whistle to their own supervisor, there's no protection. And from our perspective, that was a distortion. It never should have been enacted. Even if they wanted to put restrictions on the way intelligence agency whistleblowers could make a disclosure, to protect state secrets. But the exclusion of these employees from any protection whatsoever was a terrible, terrible mistake. Now, just add one and one together. Whistleblowers are key for the detection of misconduct. Absolutely key. But then you exclude this entire class of workers from the intelligence agencies from these protections. What do you get? You get all the foul-ups we see, the foul-ups leading to 9/11, the foul-ups with the Iraqi war, because the people who work there, who know the truth, have no mechanism.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Stephen Cohn, author of The Whistleblower's Handbook. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.